Good. Welcome to the Tuesday evening service at Field of Dreams. How many people are excited to be here? Yes. Come on. How many of you know God's doing some great things? Yes. It's good to have Reverend Todd Weatherly back in the building. So good. Okay, all right. No, I know you guys got used to... No, I'm just... So good. Wonderful, wonderful. We're going to start by doing our offering, so if the team could help us with that. Details are behind me. Wave your hand in the air if you want to give by credit card. We can do that. We can help you. We can assist you in that way. And thank you so much for all those people that give online from all overseas and for everybody that gives here so generously. Thank you so much. It's all going into the kingdom. So good. So, so good. Everyone's really quiet now. You're like, hold on. I remember speaking in tongues for the first time. I was in the bath. Don't visualize that. But I was in the bath and I said, God, I want to speak in tongues. And I just pretended like I could. I was just weird. Where it sounded like Jabba the Hutt for a little while. And but suddenly, everyone say suddenly. That's how it came on me. Bang. I started speaking in tongues. I'm like, if anyone can hear me right now, I'm speaking in tongues, but no one could. But and then I just remember exercising that gift for so long. How many people had a similar experience where then you, for 2 days, you were just speaking in tongues? And did anyone have an experience like that? 3 people. Okay, cool. Awesome. So good. Live streamers, I saw all of you put your hands up. Awesome. So good. Now, what have we got coming up at Field of Dreams? Let's have a look. Calling All Creatives 6, which is this coming Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 in the chapel. Please do come along to that. It's going to be epic. If you're creative, go along. Everyone say, I'm coming. Oh, no, good, good. Okay, awesome. Okay, celebrate Israel 13th. Some people had asked me about that. If you are here now, this is your moment. Snapshot that. 13th of April at RSVP, sorry, to Nell before the 3rd. What else have we got? Alejandro. Very exciting. He's here on the 14th of April. It's going to be awesome. Just at the 3 p.m. service, he is a crusade evangelist, man of God, miracle worker, and we're so excited to have him here. He is originally from Costa Rica, married to a Western Australian, a girl from WA, I think that's right. Is that right? Yep. And so we're excited to have him with us. Yes, it's going to be really, really fun. How many people love the South American vibe at the moment? It's a lot happening. Who can speak Spanish here? Oh, I like that. There's a few. Okay, who said C? Because we'll put you to the test in a minute, Tom. Okay, awesome. Now, seeds into the nations. This is really, really important. Todd, do you want to come and talk about this for a second? No? Nah? Or I didn't think so. Okay. I'll talk about seeding the nations. Okay, good. Let's welcome Todd as he comes. Awesome.
Yeah. So we're going to be doing a lot of outreaches this year, and we're going to invite people to sow into those. So we've just been given an itinerary where we're going to Venezuela, because as you do, go to Venezuela, and Mexico City. Just went to Indonesia. I've just got back. I'm actually still wearing a tank top, so you know, I wasn't going to show you that. Anyway, my wife's watching, she should be doing this. The Lord's moving in the nations. I'm going to share a bit now. But I encourage people to sow in, because there is really so many things happening in the world at the moment. I know that there is a lot of people in America. I don't know what you guys are tracking with. You know, the eclipse coming solar eclipse to the US. Then you got CERN's been fired up again. All sorts of stuff. And where there's a lot going on in the spirit. I can say that. We just, I can tell you, you know, I've got this, I've been probably a double portion of truth serum. But last year, I missed my father-in-law's 70th, and I felt a bit bad about it. I was doing church and state, that conference, and we were around dinner, and he said, me and Rach and the kids should go to Indonesia. And sort of like, you know, as a family, you know, sort of around father-in-law's 70th. And And basically, so, and then, you know, we could do, they could do an Easter camp, because I have a camp of hundreds of people there. Every Easter, it's a big, big event. And I'm like, yeah, it sounds good like this. And I wasn't, you know, I sort of dialed out of the conversation afterwards, and I found out my wife nor my kids were going, but I was the last man standing. So I just went to Indonesia, and there's a lot of very supernatural things happening in the world. We've got to really be careful that we don't get stuck in the religious version of Christianity. We just cannot afford to. There is a very real spirit world that we have to be informed by the Holy Spirit primarily, but to know what's happening. It does say we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. So just we went to a place called Yogyakarta, and anyone's heard of Yogyakarta? Yeah, it's the university town of Indonesia, and people go through all the different islands and provinces. I've been to Indonesia a fair bit, Kalimantan, which is Borneo, West Timor, Java, obviously, different places around. So we went to do the Easter camp, and this church, and again, I would be interested in taking teams to Indonesia next year. You know, like, so we are doing Central and South America and Africa, and that's a lot of expense. That's why we're encouraging people to sow into it. But next year, we'd like to start to regularly take teams in and out of Indonesia. Or anyway, so we go to this place in Yogyakarta, and what happens is, as soon as we get there, things... I'm in the back, so it's really weird being on a trip where most people are speaking another language, and I'm sort of just sitting there doing my own thing, not understanding what's going on. But through my father-in-law was the interpreter, but basically he said, next to this airport, this is a domestic airport, you had this full Jurassic Park display with these animatronic velociraptors greeting you as you walk in. You know, hello, Leviathan. Anyway, so go in there. And he said this is a new airport. It's only a few years old. And it's been built on the traditional, next to the traditional site of the Queen of the South. And I'm like, what the heck? And this has got quickened to me. And I'm in the car, and they're all small talking and greetings and stuff. And I'm going, Queen of the South, Queen of the South. Well, basically, is that one of the things that we've been talking about in Illuminate is that... We've, as a church, made the faith decision to take territory. If you take territory, you're taking it off of something. So, you know, if you don't want to take any territory, you just want to be just a nice Christian, don't worry about this stuff. If you take territory, you're going to have to come across the strong man of the region. So one of the things that, and especially we're taking a large team to Kenya this year, is water spirits. And what it's quite hectic because in the realm of the spirit, water is the closest thing to life. And when it says when a demon is cast out of somebody, they go to dry, waterless places. Isn't that interesting? and so there's a dynamic there. I'm not going to do an expose on water spirits tonight. But what you have is you've got fallen heavenly entities. And they have become principalities, and those principalities oversee all sorts of stuff. And a lot of these are based in water. So you go, oh, you know, that, oh, it's a bit out there, and doesn't matter. The Bible's out there. We've got to study it and be unencumbered from the Western mind. That when you want to read the Bible in context, you've got to read it from the people who wrote it. What were they trying to convey, and who were they writing it to, and what was their mindset? They weren't writing it for 21st century Westerners. And the reason why the Bible ages so well is because this spirit realm is eternal. So when you start to understand these ways, these ancient paths, it's not like all new U-Butte sort of trendy stuff. It's ancient paths. They will not change. So we'll find out that this city, Yogyakarta, basically, well, actually, all of Indonesia over COVID were, they shut down for a year and a half hard lockdown. A year and a half. Now, people were already doing hand-to-mouth like living, but a year and a half locked in your homes. There was so much fear that if someone heard their neighbor cough through the wall, they would call the police. And now they can't, you cannot get a hospital bed because there's so many secondary issues and side effects from you know what all through Indonesia. And so in Yogyakarta, a lot of the church went into decline because the laws there are very skewed towards Islam, and you can't just buy a church building and set it up. It's such a challenge. Why am I saying this? Is because of all of Indonesia off the coast, this Queen of the South is a water spirit entity. So you have a president of Indonesia, and you've got democratic elections, quote unquote. But they do have royalty. And I do know in Yogyakarta is an ancient principality. Well, I was looking at buildings that are like 1400 years old. And we're talking temples, the whole bit. So they have a king. So isn't it interesting the fact that this king would every year do a secret ceremony, everyone knows about it, but no one's allowed to attend, where he would covenant or marry the Queen of the South. The physical king would have take the Queen of the South as a spirit wife. So anyone's done missionary work in Africa, it's a thing. So you have this Queen of the South deal, right? And don't think we don't have gear in Australia, all right? At the moment, we've got our preferences of Moloch and Baal, all right? You're offering the next generation. So these are things that have to be dealt with. So it's Queen of the South would be a straight line down a boulevard all through the city of tree-lined streets, and you have these markers, and they go straight through this square. There's nothing in this square. It's fenced off, but sand from the beach. Isn't it interesting? What is it about geography or a token from an area? Is that Naaman the Syrian actually went to get healed by Elisha, and he dipped seven times in the Jordan to get completely cleansed of leprosy, but he wasn't about to move he wasn't about to move to Israel. He had to stay in Syria. So what he did, he packed as much dirt as he could into his saddlebags of his donkeys and took it back to Syria so he could worship the God of the universe. Isn't that interesting? Well, you got these people take sand from the area that where the Queen of the South is and put it in a giant square. And then what would happen is that is the king would come out his chariot at night when no one was around, once a year, meet on that sand, which is a reproduction of the realm of the spirit, where the water spirit is, and would every year would remarry this Queen of the South. Isn't that fascinating? And if that royal family was to not have strong allegiances, then all these crazy things, you're covenanting with fallen beings. So I want you to picture this. So who's finding this interesting? It's real, right? If you have a look at Canberra, you've got to see all these interesting straight lines, and it's fascinating. So you've got the Queen of the South, straight line, monuments, boulevard, the square made of with just sand, all lined up with the palace, right? And if you keep going up, you go up to a place called Mount Merapi. And Mount Merapi is a volcano where the king would also meet the Queen of the South up there and do this is hectic, real stuff. And this volcano is the most active volcano in Indonesia. A few years ago, 5,000 people died. I would say that's active. I know people have tried to do water baptisms in the area, but they can't because there's so much ash in the water all the time. So guess where the Easter camp was that I had? On the sides of an active volcano. Praise the Lord! So, basically, is that, well, over in Indonesia, you can talk about things that are happening here that are irrelevant there. Do you know what's completely not talked about as irrelevant? Climate change. Don't talk about it. This has been saved for us. You hear what I'm saying? Don't talk about all transgender stuff. None of that. It's a moot point, right? And so the all of these things are actually tailor-made for different, Western civilization, I suppose. So, but the spirit realm is relevant everywhere. So I thought, you know what? Nothing like Easter, to use Easter as a good excuse to teach these young people about water spirits. So that's what we did. And we got people, we got everyone to renounce and divorce the Queen of the South, right? Well, yeah, I'm not there to make friends, but I met a lot. And just before annual leave, I'm going over there, we're doing an event in the university to 800 young people just before Christmas. So, but see, this is what's opening up. I really want to encourage people, pray about sowing into these crusades, seriously, because next year we're going to be... Do you know how many people live in Indonesia? Just nearly as many as in America. Just under 300 million. Oh, yeah. It is very busy. So anyway, so we taught on this because what you have is that the earth got flooded with dark water in the spirit. And so that's where we had the whole Noah thing. We saw that right here. And so the place was full of fear and like this. And so we got people to renounce it and break that. So now what we want to do is we want to establish heavenly water. And so you have the river of life. The river of life, wherever it goes, it heals, right? And the only place the river of life won't go will be the swamp places and the marshes. Those are people who do not want anything to do with the kingdom. Now, I'm sure God can, there's some Saul of Tarsus out there, but when you've got people in these terrible networks of abusing children, if you have a look, all the stuff coming to the surface now in American music, who's heard about some of that stuff? Oh, it's a mad dog's breakfast, right? All this stuff coming to the surface at the moment. But God wants to establish heavenly waters. He wants to establish heavenly waters. Wherever the water goes, it heals. So we talked about this at this camp with young adults, university students, and then the power of God broke out. And in one meeting where we're talking, like, it was loud. A lot of deliverance, but because they'd renounced this water spirit stuff, is that we would have seen over 40 people baptized in the Holy Spirit for the first time, speaking in tongues, power of God broke out, and I just think that going forward, and this is all around the governance series that we're doing, all around the governance series, is that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So we need to know the domain that we're engaging in. And you can't just go around, I'm going to bind this and bind that, and I'm going to pull this down. Yeah, you'll pull it down on your head. So, but right now, we've just had a digital identity bill pushed through with no debate. No debate. So much for democracy, right? And what you've got is I just don't know who knows what, but we've got stuff, the misinformation bill, or who gets to decide, you know? It's turning out a bit like Animal Farm, isn't it? Or 1984. But behind this are fallen entities. I believe the church, God is calling the church to awaken from its slumber so we can actually partner with heaven to see these things smashed. Otherwise, you're functioning under this stuff. It actually says that, do you not know that we will judge angels? And these angels were set up to govern nations, but they fell. They fell, they became corrupted. You know, who's ever read the book of Revelation? Yeah, three of you, great. When I preach on it, you just take it under advisement. So you've got, you have, in Revelation 19, now John, the disciple, this is his self-designated title, the disciple that Jesus loved, you know. It's like Moses saying he was the meekest man in all the earth. Who wrote that? Moses. So John, the disciple that Jesus loved, and he was so freaked out. Did you know? I mean, the book of Revelation's insane. It just is amazing. Again, it's not a trendy Western, can we shoehorn it into our sensibilities? It's ancient paths, right? It will never date. One angel showed John everything. One angel. So an angel was able to holographically project a reality, right? Was John watching like a movie, or was John fully immersed like it was real? I don't know. This angel was so magnificent that John, the apostle or the disciple that Jesus loved, he fell down to worship the angel. And he says, hey, don't do that. I'm just a fellow servant. Worship God for the testimony of Jesus' spirit of prophecy. Cool, lesson learned, got corrected, got a bit confused. I got a bit caught up in this magnificence of this angel. Next minute, Revelation 22, John worships the angel again. So whatever's going on in the spirit are able to change people's sense of reality. And you see how mad people went. I cannot believe that Stephen Marshall encouraged people to dob in their neighbours who had one or two extra people in their house. You look at it now and you're going, it's disgusting. But how many people actually came under that fear? It's because you've got a demonic entity or a fallen entity was projecting that onto people. This stuff is over whole communities, whole nations. And so this is why, because I couldn't get up and just share this and not that and not this and what's one thing got to do with another. But this is all to do with governance, all to do with governance. You know, I want you to get stirred up, because either you're functioning as a son or you're a slave. And you know what? So many people, they go, gosh, I would love more answers to prayer. No, it actually says, I think in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And through him, we say the amen to the glory of God. So every time you pray according to the will of God, healing, blessing, whatever, God goes, yes. He says, yes. And then people go, oh. But what happens to the substance? If you don't birth that breakthrough financially or healing or whatever, what happens to it? It gets pinched. It gets taken into a demonic realm and used as a power source. And so this is why it talks about going in and plundering the enemy's camp. Because there's stuff that belongs to you has been taken. But if you've got a slave mentality, you're going, what? What do you mean? And so this is why this year God's so on governance. Well, in this season, I think, I don't know, you know, like I don't call the shots when, you know, he's going to keep expanding. So I think in the coming months, God's going to reveal to us the things that we have more affection for than the Lord, and the things we've covenanted in that keep us under these entities. And you can't take dominion over anything that's got you under its thumb. So we saw a move of God with these young people. There were some salvations, but baptism of the Holy Spirit and deliverance, the glory manifested in that place. It's a pretty cool place to have a camp on the side of an active volcano, don't you think? It was lovely. And so, but I just think, I'm going to pray with you guys in a second and hand it over to Daryl. But I want you to pray about sowing into the nations. This year, it's Argentina, Kenya, Mexico City, Venezuela. But also too, I will be actively pursuing taking people into Indonesia and places like that. Those trips are a little bit more affordable, and you can do them short-term trips. But I'll tell you what, we've just above our country is nearly 300 million people. 300 million, and we've just got to find the right men and women of peace. But, you know, I'd like to check out Sumatra and Sulawesi and see what God's doing. But he's doing some amazing things. But can you imagine being locked down, hard locked? Well, hang on. If you're from Melbourne, you understand it, don't you? From Melbourne, you know, I was a prisoner of Dan Andrews. And but they had that. But we're talking extreme poverty. And you get, when people don't understand, you go, oh, it's all right, the government's gonna give us free money. Have you ever studied any book, any history, anywhere? Government giving free money means you're going to make the next generation broke. It is what it is. So I just want to testify is that identifying, we didn't bind any entities, by the way. We just got people to come out of it. You get people coming out of it, especially fear. You got churches are full of fear. They're full of fear. You know, and when you think you're going to put up a white flag against the enemy, give me a break. It's such a false dawn. It doesn't work like that. So, you know, it's very, very exciting. So I appreciate that I was able to, in this instance, use Jogjakarta as a crash test dummy to take out a principality. However, it wasn't quite like that, is that we have to make sure we were out of agreement. And you know what? You live in Adelaide, you cannot be from Adelaide. You can't be from Adelaide. You've got to be from heaven. Otherwise, you're just going to talk about the footy. I don't even know. I was on the flight back from Bali. People talk loud on planes. Everyone's showing off their new tattoos. Bintang tank tops. It was a very enriching cultural experience. Kuta is a bogan's paradise, isn't it? So, but anyway, the weather was great. I was only there as a transit. So I was going to pray for you guys and then I'm going to hand it over. Lord, Holy Ghost, I just thank you. Thank you for the nations. I just thank you for finances flowing into the nations. I thank you for multiplied harvest. I thank you, Lord God, that you're speaking to us. I thank you, Lord God, that you're moving in our midst. I thank you that this church has been commanded generically and also specifically, Lord, to extend its tent pegs. We just thank you for the nations. We thank you for souls. We thank you for speaking to heads of nations. We thank you for speaking to presidents and parliamentarians and senators. We thank you, Lord, most importantly, manifesting the kingdom of heaven to people in the tops of mountains, the tops in gates, and Lord, even the tops of volcanoes in Jesus' name. Amen.
Come on. That's a good announcement. Thanks. Thanks for that. It's very good. We all knew that Todd was going to talk to us about what has been going on. He has no idea what I'm about to share right now. It's so profound that he just said what he just said. Are there any other announcements? If there are not, yeah, I'd rather not even do any. So awesome. So good. Can you put up Jonah chapter 1:1-3 first? Oh, wow. You are on the ball. Okay. Let's just read this. We can read it together if you want, or however you want to do it. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, and saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went up to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish. Paid the fare and went down onto it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I'm going to really go relatively quickly through this. What's interesting, I don't know if I've ever spoken about Nineveh before. Have I spoken about Nineveh before from the front? Just about how they... Are there any kids in here? No? Okay. Not really. So how the kings... Nineveh was the... So basically the capital of Assyria. And it was a very, very violent place. Very, very violent place. And the place where, basically, when you went into Nineveh, apparently, and I've studied so much about it. And has anyone watched a documentary on Nineveh before? Oh, my goodness. So on the entry point, they would have the heads of every king that they had conquered on that, basically on the entryway into the city. So when you entered into the city, you had to come through every conquered king, and people that were they were not happy with were kind of strung up as you go in. I'm going to just leave it at that for now. And what was really interesting, well, I find it very interesting, is that it was known as a place of extreme violence, of extreme violence. So when Jonah was told, go to Nineveh and preach my word, how many of you know that he actually wasn't just engaging with the word of the Lord? Well, the word of the Lord came. What did he do? What happened? He ran away. Why did he run away? Because God gave him the word. Because there was a spirit force of intimidation that ruled and reigned from Nineveh that he then came under as soon as the word came. Now, what's so interesting is, what does anyone know what the name Nineveh means? Nineveh, Queen Nina, was named after the goddess Nina, the fish god, and she was the queen of heaven. So you can look all this up. So he was told to go and preach the word of the Lord under or into a place where the rulership, ruling principality was the queen of heaven, the fish god. Isn't that so interesting? So he goes. Now, so he gets this word, and what happens is the spirit force that was connected to Assyria then rises up, we're talking about water spirits now, rises up and in, brings a level of intimidation, and Jonah jumps on board a ship, and he enjoys the ship because he's on the ship, and he goes, okay, and he goes, and we've talked about this before, but Nineveh, and you might have seen someone talk about this previously, but Nineveh, let's say this, Tarshish was as far away from Nineveh as you can possibly go. It really was. Now, we've heard the manifestation of the Queen of Heaven before from other preachers and pastors and whatever, but you can look it up specifically that because the Queen Nina or Goddess Nina was worshipped in Nineveh, they specifically chose that name for the capital city of Assyria. I mean, that's just profound. So anyway, so you go in there, it's her jurisdiction or that jurisdiction of that spirit. And so he then runs away on board a ship, goes as far away as possible, and then when he does, something happens. Now, everyone knows what happens, Jonah chapter 2. We're not going to go into that just for time's sake. So then we have, Jonah has this experience where there is a storm that's created on the winds, created on the waves, and they then cast lots. Now, how many people would like lots to be cast over your world? No. Because you disobeyed the word of the Lord. I don't know who this is, but anyway, so what happens is that the lots are cast, they choose, or let's say this, they identify that Jonah is the odd one out. He's the one he's the naughty boy. And so what do they do with him? Throw him into the ocean. What was he contending against previously? A water spirit. So he gets in the ocean, but the Lord allows a great fish to swallow Jonah because Jonah needs to be able to overcome the water kingdom, gets swallowed, and it actually, who believes that Jonah died? No? No one believes he died? You remember? What did Jesus say? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, you can put it up. Who believes that Jesus died and resurrected? Did he actually die? Okay, let's put up Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. Okay, for just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So I'm not, look, you can read into this as much as you want, but what's so interesting is this. Jonah went through a whole death experience. For time's sake, I'm not going to go through Jonah 2, where he talks about, how many people have read Jonah chapter 2? Who was distressed? Cords of shit. It's distressing. So anyway, so he comes back out, and then let's put up Jonah chapter, let's go to the end of chapter 2 if we can, Josh, and then go into 3:1-5 as well, thanks. Then the Lord commanded the fish and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Okay, good. So it wasn't until the Lord commanded. It's really interesting. Now, so the word of the Lord has come to him. He ran away. How many of you know that God knew that when he gave him that word, he would come under the spirit of intimidation? Does anyone believe that God already knew that? He already knew that. So he gave him the word knowing that he would come under that. I'm not saying that Jonah didn't have a choice to step up, but God already knew Jonah's internal world. So when he gave him the word, he wasn't going, oh my goodness, I can't believe he's run away. He gave him the word knowing how his internal world would cope with the words of such magnitude of go to Nineveh. He knew everything about Jonah. When he was scared, who he played with as a child, who tormented him, who troubled him, how he was with water, who even knows? Jonah could have a fear of water, you just never know. But what's so interesting about it is that he gives him this word. He knows that the word needs to come to pass. How many of you know it says in the word that the Lord's word doesn't come back void, but it accomplishes the very thing to which he sent it to do? Now, I'm not saying that God had to kill Jonah. But there was something that needed to happen for Jonah, because when he then goes into the ocean, let's go up to Jonah chapter 3 from verse 1, please, Josh. When he comes back out of the ocean now it says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Exactly the same word. Now what's happened to Jonah since then? He ran away. Forget about the running away stuff. That wasn't the traumatizing part for Jonah. The fact that he got thrown into the ocean, swallowed by a fish, whatever happened for 3 days, you can work that out yourself. And then after 3 days of being in the belly of a fish, I think that there was some kind of, it was a huge whale and there was like seats and there was like, it was like a waiting room. I feel like when I was a kid, I went to a Christian primary school called St. Matthew's, and I always had this visual of it was the biggest blue whale we've ever seen, and it was like a waiting room. And maybe he was a bit hungry, maybe there was some drinks or anything. He was swallowed by a fish. Not fun. So whether he was alive, semi-conscious, dead, half-drowned, whatever else, he was still in the belly of a fish. And at some point, he had to regain consciousness, whether it was when he went in and he was conscious the whole time, or when God spat him out and he looked and went, did I just come out of that fish? Or whatever it was. The reality is that he had an extreme experience where he engaged with the things of the ocean. So interesting, isn't it? So he spat him out, came to him a second time saying, go, arise, go to Nineveh, named after the goddess Nina, the fish goddess, or not just the fish, there's multiple things. You can look it up yourself. The great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I'm going to tell you. Keep going. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a 3 days walk. Okay, keep going. Which means that's how big it was, not how long it took to get there. It was 3 days walk to get from one side to the other. If you watch a documentary on Nineveh, it's absolutely fascinating. Then Jonah began to go through the city, 1 day's walk, and he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. I mean, it's a big deal. Now he's gone there. Now he's just doing what he's told now. You know why? Because he probably died. So now he's going, I've got nothing left. I've already been swallowed. I've been chucked in the ocean, swallowed by a fish. I've got nothing left. And I won't go through Jonah chapter 2, but you can do that before you go to bed tonight and it will encourage you greatly. And so, and then it says, then the people of Nineveh believed in God and they called a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the leastest. Can you do verse 6 as well? No, I only give you to verse 5. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself in sackcloth and sat on the ashes. Keep going. He issued a proclamation and it said, in Nineveh, by the decree of the king and the nobles, do not let man, beast or flock taste a thing. Do not them eat or even drink water. But both man and beast must be covered in sackcloth, and let men call on God earnestly that each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence, repentance, out of alignment. Why violence? Because it was known as a place of violence. There was a principality of violence that was covering the place. And that when something covers a place, how many of you know that you partake of that covering? So he literally says, the wicked way and the violence which is in their hands, or his hands. Keep going. Who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we will not perish. So crazy. So you've got Jonah carrying the word of the Lord. I don't know what Jonah looked like. I'm presuming he wasn't looking like Goliath. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. It doesn't describe what he looked like. One day we'll see him and he could just like, hey, how are you doing? Oh, it's so good, God. Who's the hobbit over there? Oh, that's Jonah. Oh, you just never know. But what's so interesting, it doesn't talk about Jonah's stature. It doesn't talk about where he actually doesn't talk about where he was from. It doesn't give you any lineage or history about Jonah. It doesn't in the word, if you've studied the word at all. It actually doesn't reference Jonah very much at all, apart from the book and then a couple of other times. And so what's so interesting about it is that what caused men and women to repent? The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is so powerful that when it was in the mouth of Jonah, when he walked a day through the city, one day, that's a long time. He was proclaiming, now I don't know what it looked like, maybe it was every 10 steps, whatever, but he walked through the city and proclaimed the word of the Lord, and people that heard it came under the reverence and the fear of the Lord and repented as he walked. It's absolutely so much so that when the king heard the word, now God always knew that his word wouldn't come back void, and that was the biggest known revival. Can a nation be born in a day? Isaiah 66, that is that. That was the biggest revival ever recorded. That in one day, every person in the capital city, can you imagine going to Mexico City? We were just talking about that. Or going to London and you carried the word of the Lord. Someone goes in and carries the word of the Lord. Caitlin's gone in there. She's got the word of the Lord. And everywhere she walks, she goes, hey, everyone needs to repent. And in one day, it only describes one day, so I'm just saying, we don't know any more than that. In one day, the mayor of London, not that he's a bit strange, but the mayor of London says, okay, everyone needs to repent, and the whole of London is saved in one day. That is a massive deal. See, God had to do something in Jonah's world because he knew his plan for Nineveh, his plan for Nineveh, or the goddess of Nina. That's basically means worship the goddess Nina. He had a plan for that place and he needed a man to execute the plan. And so he makes this decision. Jonah runs away. He then does whatever needs to happen. And whatever the intimidation, how many of you know this actually a spirit force of intimidation that went out? How many of you know that spirit forces don't just occupy a place, they actually go forth and intimidate people from going to that place? You know, I've been to going to places many, many times, sometimes with Todd, sometimes other times, and I'm about to go somewhere and I start to get really, really nervous. It's actually principalities from that region intimidating me before I even get there. Isn't that interesting? Why? Because like Todd just said about, he doesn't know I was talking about this, but projecting. You see, I believe that the Queen of Heaven projected the spirit of intimidation as soon as the word of the Lord came to Jonah. As soon as he got the word, go to Nineveh, his heart turned for a second to Nineveh. And as soon as I believe that the principality felt his heart turn, she or whatever it was, the principality then jumped on Jonah and said, you will not come here, you will die here. And Jonah's like, I'm out of here. That's what I think happened. I think the spirit force was so strong in conjunction with the history of Nineveh and the reputation of Nineveh, and I feel like all of it just came into his world and he's like, I'm not going there, no way, I'm going to buy a ticket and I'm going to go somewhere else. And so what's so interesting is that in order for God to do what he needed to do, he needed a man to get swallowed by a fish. Now, in saying that, we're talking about going to nations and stuff. Some people need to, this is preaching to myself now, some people are going to have to get swallowed by a fish to accomplish the very thing that God needs to do with you. Now, that doesn't mean you need to die, get thrown into the ocean. I'm not saying any of that. But there is something that needs to happen here in order for us to be able to occupy new spaces and places and territories for the kingdom of God. And that is the journey that we've got. And don't be surprised if something comes to you and initially it feels big and feels intimidating. I've spoken about this multiple times, but that's why Jeremiah and everybody else, Joshua was the territory taker, why they had the Lord with them, and he was saying, don't worry, I'm with you. I got you. Don't worry, I've got you. Why was he saying that? Because he was reinforcing the reality that they need. It says that Jeremiah, his own book, says, the Lord is with me as a dread champion, as a mighty warrior. I've said this before from the pulpit, so excuse me for repeating myself on that. But the reality is the only reason that he said it was because he needed to be, the Lord had to manifest himself as a mighty warrior to Jeremiah for him to occupy and finish the thing that God was asking him to do. So as we step into these new seasons, these new realms and all these things, and we're divorcing water spirits and we're doing all these different things, we have to understand that sometimes as we just come out of agreement with something, there may be a journey that we need to go through, a threshold that we need to cross, something that has to die in us, maybe a place of fear, as Todd said, but many, whatever it is in us, I believe that it actually, a lot of stuff will have to shift potentially as God brings us into these places where he assigns these new assignments. He baptizes us in a place of boldness to take in order that we would take this new ground in this new era for this new season under heaven, because we talk about it all the time. You know, we hear the prophets talk about it. Yeah, it's amazing. Get ready for your new season, new territory. Yeah, it's going to cost you. You're going to have to go in a fish potentially. Don't, you know, these big words. And the bigger the word, potentially, the bigger the sinking. That's terrible. And I really want us to catch this tonight, because just because God gives you the word doesn't mean you're ready. Do you want me to say that one more time? Just to let it sink in. Just because God gives us the word doesn't mean we're ready. The word is an invitation to get ready. And so I feel like as we're stepping into these new seasons, these new times, these new places, as we're crossing over, God is going, okay, I'm getting you ready. Are you ready to see nations change? And the reason I'm saying some of this as well is because I've been hearing this thing again, can nations be born in a day? And we're like, yeah, they can. Well, actually, that is the only scriptural evidence we've ever had of a nation being born in a day. I'm not saying that there haven't been smaller places, you know, a whole village, whatever. But what's so interesting is I feel like God is inviting us into this space where he's saying, I'm not saying we're all going to have a Jonah experience. But how many of you know Jonah was the perfect man for the job? And I feel like what it cost him, actually God used that as nearly like an offering before him to empower Jonah to get the job done. Because how many of you know he was disobedient? But as soon as whatever happened, God came back with exactly the same word, exactly the same assignment, exactly the same mantle, and said, you haven't disqualified yourself, now you're ready. And so I feel like as we're coming into whatever we're doing, I feel like the Lord's saying, don't worry about the way that you have engaged, words that you've had, appointments that you've had, mantles that you've had, all this. Don't worry about that. You haven't disqualified yourself. And as my word comes back to you now, just re-engage it and get ready to be prepared to take on that next thing. Does that make sense? Does everyone feel like they're about to be drowned in the ocean now? No, because that's not what I'm saying at all. Is everyone catching what I'm saying? So, okay. So, water spirits, queen of heaven, principalities and powers called into particular regions. Jonah was by himself. It sounds like he was by himself. We're not doing this by ourselves. In Christ, we are a company of people. There is the new wine is in the cluster. And so there is something, the word of the Lord is coming right now to the clusters to bring people into the new thing. Anyway, so this is the word that God gave me. And I'll finish up in like 5 minutes. The Lord said to me, he said, look for the rise of the dragon slayers. He said, look for the rise of the dragon slayers. And I'm like, wow, yeah, that sounds, I can get G'd up on that word. I could Elijah list that tomorrow. And he said, look for the rise. And I said, what are you doing? And he said, read Jonah. And he said, I want you to see Jonah as a dragon slayer. And I said, I wouldn't normally see him as a dragon slayer. And he said, what he carried was the word of the Lord, which was the sword of the Lord that cut through the principalities and powers in a nation in order to see the whole place saved. And I feel like God is saying, I'm empowering in this season my dragon slayers. I'm empowering in this season those people, not just going after a spirit of Goliath, where you talk about Goliath, but there are dragons that have stolen stuff. There are spirit forces that have stolen stuff. And the Lord is saying, it is time for my people to rise up with my word, which is the sword of the Lord, to slay the dragons and take back what's rightfully ours. Not just ours, but what's rightfully the body of Christ's. And so I feel like at Field of Dreams, especially, we've got a company of dragon slayers here. And God is saying, are you ready to raise up your sword and be empowered in boldness and confidence? Can we just put up Acts chapter 4, verse 29? Boldness and confidence to administrate that sword of the Lord to slay any occupying principalities and powers. I'm not saying we pull them down on our head. Todd just talked about that. But let's just look at this. And it says, and now, so this is the disciples are in a bit of a jam because they've had to go out with the word of the Lord. It's really interesting. And how many people know that when the disciples went out in the book of Acts in general, the whole book, they weren't overly received? God said, I've got many people in this city, so people were able to go and do that. But really, there was a level of opposition against what they were doing. Why was there a level of opposition? Because there were spirit forces. So it wasn't, remember, the war we fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and cosmic forces, says in the ESV, cosmic forces of the dark realm. So actually, they were going up against this. And what do they ask for? And this is so, so cool. They say this, and now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant us that your bondservants may speak your word, which is the sword of the Lord, with confidence, which is the word boldness, exactly the same word in the original Greek, boldness and confidence. So that we would speak your word with boldness and confidence while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. You see, this was called, there's something called in the Bible, I'm not going to go into it now for time's sake, but there's something called Kratos power. You've got dunamis power, then you've got Kratos power. And Kratos power is regional changing power. So an evangelist called Todd Bentley always used to talk about Kratos power. So what happens when you go out and do a crusade or you go out and bring the word of the Lord, with the administration of the word of the Lord, is actually territory-taking power that comes by the preaching of the word. It's actually a power that changes regions. And this is so interesting. They go out and they are actually going out, not just with dunamis power, which is the signs and wonders that follow. They're actually going out under the power of Kratos. So they are going, and as they speak the word, they are changing regions, which is the true demonstration and the original DNA and origin of an apostle. An apostle is supposed to come and make heaven look like earth, but the transitional shift is that one realm has to be fastened, glued to another realm, and that the entirety of that realm is shifted, that the kingdom of heaven would be the predominant ruling and reigning kingdom over that particular place. Like God's in this place. You'll know when God's in this place. So what's so interesting is they go out and they go, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to go and shift as we, in the book of Acts, chapter 4, right early. They're going, okay, we're going out, let's do this. We're going up against the principalities and powers. And God's saying, for want of a better expression, because it says the word of the Lord spread. And God is saying as the word of the Lord spreads, that then there is a Kratos power that's married with a dunamis, signs and wonders power that actually brings his kingdom to earth. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what starts to happen is they're partnering with God. But what are they asking for? See, when Jonah came, yes, there was a dunamis power, I'm sure, that came with the word, but there was this Kratos reality again. It doesn't say that in the Bible, but that is actually what happened, that there was this transitional shift where the power of God went out and changed the whole city. So in Acts chapter 4, they're saying, grant us boldness and confidence to preach your word, which brings transformational change. Give us boldness and confidence to preach your word, and signs and wonders will follow the preaching of your word. Why? Because they are sent on assignment to change regions, change nations, and change all that stuff. I believe in Field of Dreams, we are being given an assignment disproportionately to change nations. And I know every church is designed to do that. And I'm not saying that I prefer Field of Dreams, but I do. It's true. But what's so interesting about that is that imagine if there was a disproportionate number of people that were called in to administrate the word of the Lord in a place of regional shifting power. To preach the word of the Lord in a place where you actually see multitudes come to the Lord, but actually you see the very fabric and the DNA change, and what was Luz becomes Bethel. That we actually go and we establish gateways to heaven where angels ascend and descend, and that never changes anymore because we have established Bethel, which is the gate of heaven, in those places because we have partnered with God to see a fastening of heaven to earth in that place. How many of you know we're called to change nations? This is what it looks like. And so if that speaks to you, just stand to your feet. I'm literally going to finish now. Don't want to go too long. And can we put the pads on? So good. You can do your communion after this. We'll do the communion after this prayer. But just everyone put your hands out if this speaks to you. And you're just going to say this. Just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I choose to receive boldness and confidence to preach your word, to bring shift and change to nations. I believe when you said, can a nation be born in a day? That it can be. And I choose in this season to be part of the company that brings that word forth. Use me, empower me, and grant me an extraordinary amount of grace to fulfill this assignment in this season, whatever it looks like, to administrate your word and your sword to see the nations changed. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You can grab your communion whenever.